So the title for today's message is Empty Vessels, and we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to read verse 1. It says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." And, you know, if we stop there, it's a very sad story. It really is something that, you know, as a pastor, as I read this, it concerns me, right? Because, you know, she has a husband who was dedicated to God. He was the son, he was of the prophets, right? So he was a man that was serving the Lord. And apparently he dies rather unexpectedly, and his wife and his family are kind of left in a situation where they're what we would probably call destitute. They really have no way to support themselves. Now, it's kind of sad because in reality, in the Old Testament, the church was supposed to be there to support the families. But, you know, as you know, as you go through reading scriptures, sometimes the church does what it's supposed to do. And I'm talking in the Old Testament, not the body of Christ church, but the God's people, right? And then sometimes they fall away and they don't, because, you know, things of the world creep in and they get kind of selfish and self-absorbed. So obviously something was happening here. It wasn't right. And she's at the point now where she's concerned that she may lose her two sons because the creditors want their money, and she has no way to pay them. So they want to put her sons into bondage, either as slaves that they're now using for their own purposes, or what we would call what do we call them? Oh, all right, you know I should do this. So bad. They're debtor's prison. So they would go into debtor's prison until they would be able to pay off the debt. And then, you know, theoretically they would be returned. But, you know, that could take years. And, you know, the impact that that would have on children would be devastating. The story doesn't give us an idea of how old these children are, but obviously, the mother is very concerned. So, you know, you would say like, oh, jeepers, Lord, you know, how could you allow this situation to happen to a family where, you know, they were so dedicated to serve you, right? But the truth is that it wasn't like God forgot about them. And that's what you see as we continue to read the remaining few verses here. So starting at verse 2, and this is the comfort that we should have. Yeah, we go through trials, right? Every one of us goes through trials. There are difficulties that come up in our lives every day. But God knows, just as was said in the worship. Not only does he know our thoughts, and he knows everything about us, and he's concerned about those things, but he also is there to help us through these things. So we're going to read verses 2 to 7 of the same chapter. "As she went to Elisha, Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" Now this is the sad part. What do you have in your house? Like, you know, do you have anything worth anything in your house? And she said, "Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. So did God provide? Absolutely. Not only did God provide, but what we're going to see is God provided abundantly, right? So as we continue with this story, we're going to see, there's a scripture in the book of Psalms. I know we've heard it in the past. Psalm 37, verse 25. And I'll read it. It just says, I have been young and now am old. Isn't that the truth? Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So, we get to a point sometimes where we question, Lord, where are you? I could really need your help right now. But you know what the problem is with that? We wait like this poor widow here until we pretty much have no other options. And then that's when we turn to the Lord. See, when her husband passed away and she was beginning to have problems, she should have gone immediately to, and I say go to the Lord, but you have to understand, in the Old Testament, they needed to go through a priest, or they needed to go through a man of God in order for their prayers to be heard, right? You think of Hannah, who couldn't have children, and she had to go to the temple, right? And Eli was there, and he heard her prayer, and then he told her, God is going to answer your prayer. You can go home. And, that was the norm back then. It's only after Christ went to the cross and died for our sins that the veil was rent. So we have access directly to God. We don't have to go to a man of God. You don't have to come to me. You don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to go to anybody and say, look, can you pray for me? I mean, we pray for each other, and that's a wonderful thing. But, we can go directly to God. You can go directly to God. You don't need to have somebody mediate for you. Well, I'll make a statement on that in a second. But you don't need a man to mediate on your behalf. All right. So the problem here is that we have a God who wants, we get concerned about our material needs, just like, the mother. And I don't blame the mother. She's trying to feed her children and she's trying to provide them a home. Of course, any mother would have concerns about those things. But you see, most of us, we have a place to live, we have clothes, we have a car, some means by which we got to church today. We are rich compared to many in the world. And when you look at it, but we get sidelined sometimes. Like, oh, my car broke down, or I'm having problems with my hot water tank, or my roof is leaking, or whatever. All kinds of things come in. Like, and I'll be perfectly honest. I was stressed this weekend. I shouldn't be stressed. Like, be careful for nothing, right? But there's so many things that were happening between work and home and everything this week that I was like, oh, Lord, I don't know how I can even get the message done, But yet here I am. And, the Lord, I don't know how it happens, but he makes it work. And I'm standing here telling you, go to him and let him know your anxieties, and he will dispel them. I went to bed last night, and I fell asleep within 10 minutes. My wife will attest to that. And, I woke up refreshed this morning. I was fine, no problem. But, all day yesterday, I was a wreck. And I was like, okay. But, that's the God we serve. Go to him. He cares. Now, so we get into these things where all these material things begin to pile up, and we're not sure how they're going to happen, right? But, you see, the material things are not important. Those things, they're going to still be there. When we walk out of church today, that leaky roof is still going to be there waiting for you. That hot water tank that's not working will still be there. The problem you're having with your car will still be there. The problems that you have at work, they'll still be there. So the thing is, we are coming here today because we want to increase our knowledge of who God is. We want to make our relationship with God that much firmer. We want to draw closer to Him. That's not going to happen if we stay home and fix our roof and call the plumber and have, you know what we're going to do? We're going to find out that, well, if I have to come out on a Sunday, it's going to cost you more. And then we're going to argue and complain. You know what he's going to charge me? And, you know, where's the spiritual aspect of that going to be in your life? Come to church, be fed, walk out of here, and I guarantee you, you're going to walk out of here happier than you were when you walked into church. And then you can deal with all those things. But don't forget what God just did for you. That high blood pressure and all that stuff that you walked in with is now calm. I mean, it may not seem like I'm calm, but I'm calm. So, you know, it's better. So, you know, let the Lord handle the material things in their time, but dedicate what you have of time to the Lord for the spiritual things. That's correct. Amen. All right. Now, as we are looking at this situation, right, we've got, the empty vessels. We don't want to forget the fact that we're looking at these empty vessels. This lady feels the need to come and go to a man who can mediate her request, right? So she goes to Elijah, a man of God, a prophet, and an amazing prophet, as we read about him in Scripture. And, you know, he gives her some advice. Now, you know, when people tell you things like, oh, you don't have nothing left in your house but a pot of oil, well, go to your neighbors and borrow as many pots as you can, or vessels, and then, you know, come back home, and it's so funny, close the door, and then pour the oil that you have in your pot into all those pots. Now, you know what? Our natural person is sitting here going, okay, well, I gathered 25 pots, right? 25 vessels. And if I take the little bit of oil I have, I can like put a teaspoon here, a teaspoon there. But that's not what he says. He says, pour into all of those vessels. And that's the thing we have to deal with God. We got to deal with God by faith. Not in our human understanding. Our human understanding says, well, what am I going to do when I'm done? My little pot of oil will barely, I mean, won't even fill the first one, let alone, you know, however many she gathers. But you notice how God doesn't say how many she gathers? That's interesting, isn't it? But it's only interesting because we like to have things nice and tidy, right? We like to know, was it 15 pots? Was it 25 pots? Was it 100 pots? You know what? If the prophet says to her, at the end of verse 7, live thou and thy children of the rest. You know what that tells me? The oil that she had, that she filled those vessels with, was going to be enough to provide for her family for the rest of her life. Imagine that. Can you imagine that? Oil was precious in those days. You needed it for everything. It was something that obviously they anointed, they cooked, they lit lamps. It was used at the temple. Everything was necessary to have this oil. And you know what? You could have oil that was high quality. You could have oil that was poor quality. When God provides the oil, it's high quality oil. So, you know, it's like, you know, you get your cold pressed extra virgin olive oil, right? Or you could get that man processed stuff that, you know, is absolutely terrible. You wouldn't make a salad dressing out of that stuff. But, you know, that's what we're talking about. It's God provided, and it's so much better than what man could do, right? All right. So as we look at this, we want to look at this from the standpoint of three aspects, and I'm going to kind of go through this kind of quickly. One, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm absolutely, I just am so happy with the worship service today, because it was so focused on Jesus Christ. And we're going to end up continuing to put that focus there. Then we're going to go into the efficacy or the value of prayer. And then we're going to go into the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we look at the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, this might make sense, I hope. So the woman, obviously she has nothing. She has just this little pot of oil, whatever that happened to be. I assume it wasn't very much, or she would have sold some of it in order to pay her creditors. All right. If we think about the fact that she's been told, gather. It's odd, isn't it? He didn't say go to your neighbors and see if they will share oil with you, get vessels of oil from them. He says, get them empty. I want you to get empty vessels. And, you know, do you think her neighbors might have had a clue that her husband passed away and that she's having a hard time? I would hope so. But then you would have hoped that her neighbors would have tried to also be helpful. And apparently not. And that's one of my points here is, folks, you're going to be going through a hard time. Everybody does. There are times, you know, when we look at our lives and we say, oh, I don't know where God is in my life. I'm having so many problems. And, you know, we begin to doubt whether or not God is going to be able to provide for our needs. But you know what? Go to the church and let the church know that you're having a problem. If there are people in the church who love you and who have abundance above whatever they need, especially now as we have gardens that we're planting that are growing and they're being fruitful and they're providing more stuff than we can possibly eat, then, you know, if they can help you, they can bring stuff in and they can say, here. Or here's $20, fill your gas tank, you know, get to work, you know. At least something that will provide for your needs. Those are, you know, I'll buy like, what, 2 gallons of gas now? But, you know, that's besides the point. I don't want to get sidetracked. God knows that there are people that he has blessed. And it's not that they're more spiritual than you or anything. Don't ever get that thought that, oh, God is punishing me. I'm just not walking with God. He must be mad at me, and that's why he's allowing us to. No, it doesn't mean anything. You know what? And I'm probably getting this all out of order, but I don't care. The fact is that if you're going through a trial, sometimes what the Lord does is he says, look, you need to pray. Oh, yeah, this is definitely out of order. But you need to pray, and sometimes you're going to have to go through whatever that trial is because I'm testing your faith. So he wants to know, are you going to pray long enough to continue to trust me, or are you going to say, look, I know God has forsaken me. I'm going back to the world. I'm going to find somebody out there, whether it be the government or whatever, that's going to be able to provide for my needs. And then you're going to, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I'm going to say, you know, if you don't need to go to the government for your help or go to your neighbor for your help, but you can have your help come from a brother or sister in the Lord, think of the blessing that is, not just to you, but to that brother or sister in the Lord who was able to help and provide for your needs. I know that wasn't part of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, but it was important. So, but, you know, when we look at the fact that, you know, she's supposed to get empty vessels. Folks, think of who you were before you got saved. Did you feel like you were full? Your life was full? You know what? The people that think their life is full are the people who do not want God. They think they don't need God. Why do I need God? Well, you know what they are? They are vessels that are partially full or completely full. But what are they filled with? They're filled with the world. They're filled with self. So when you try to fill a vessel that's already half full or full, what are you going to get? You're going to mix some wonderful stuff that God had provided with whatever putrid stuff that was in that vessel that you brought. That's not what God wants. God doesn't want any of you left when you come to the Lord. He says, come to me empty, and I'm going to fill you. And I'm going to fill you with stuff that is so good that you will just be amazed how, you know, do you remember how you felt the day you got saved? Oh, it was like, how do you even explain it? There was like joy, unending joy in your heart. That's exactly what the Lord is saying here. I have a pure oil that I will fill your vessel with. And, you know, and that kind of leads us, I'm gonna abbreviate this a little bit, but I hope you understand what I'm saying. He wanted empty vessels so that there was nothing left of who we were. And do you think that Christ would only have enough grace to be able to fill one vessel? Look around. How many vessels do we have sitting here in this church today? He filled every one of them as long as you are saved. And that's a wonderful thing. And you know what? He's unlimited. He can fill thousands, millions, tens of millions, billions more. And he has. We don't know how many. And we don't know how many are left to be filled. So there are many left, and only God knows who they are. All right. We're going to go on to the efficacy or the value of prayer. So we understand that she comes to the man of God, and she says to him, I need you to mediate on my behalf. Can you go to the Lord on my behalf? Let him know my petition and see what it is that he wants of me. And you know, the man of God, we don't see specifically that Elisha goes to the Lord, but he's a prophet, right? So he's a man of God. So we understand that the things that he's speaking, he's not a false prophet, he's a real prophet. So when he speaks to her, we understand that the things he's telling her are from God. God, this is God's word to you. Isn't that great? God says this. We just talked about that in the worship, right? So, you know, God's giving me these words to tell you. And what does she have to do? She has to trust that that's what God says, right? So she tells her sons, go to every neighbor and see what vessels we can possibly get from them, right? Now, you know, we talked about the fact that, you know, the neighbors can provide empty pots, all kinds of empty pots, right? But, you know, she might have one of those neighbors who's like, well, you know what? I know she's having a hard time, so I'm going to not give her an empty pot. I'm going to give her a full pot. Well, and just like we said, God wants us to come to him empty. That full pot does her no good, because as she's filling those other empty pots and she comes to the full pot, she can't do anything with it. It's already full, right? So when you look at that and you say, oh, well, how is my prayer going to be answered if I have a full pot, right? It can't be answered that way, because, you know, as God answered by prayer, he said, bring empty pots to me, right? And you know what's funny is he says, borrow not a few. So, you know, if she was like, well, you know, I don't really want to have my neighbors feel like, you know, they're being put out, so what if I just get 5 pots, right? Well, then she's not doing the will of God. She's not listening to what the man of God said. So when God answers your prayer, don't limit what God says by putting yourself in the middle of that. So let God do the work. So when he says, borrow not a few, you borrow whatever you can. You go to the neighbor and you say, look, whatever you got that can hold oil that you don't need right away, could you please let me borrow it? And let them give you as many as they can. And obviously they did. So, you know, we want to make sure that we come to the Lord in prayer and we trust the answer that we get back when we get that. Now, there are people, and it's a sad situation, but there are people who will say, you know, I've prayed, and God didn't answer my prayer. We don't see that this widow prayed necessarily until she got to this point where she had this man of God there, right? Well, you know what? When you have unsaved loved ones, and you say, I've been praying for them for 6 months, and I don't see that there's been any change. And then what do? You stop praying for them. You go on to the next family member, or you go on to some other person that you know, right? Where's our faith in that God is going to do what he has to do? That's another test that God has for us, where he says, look, do you think God doesn't know the number of days that person has in your family? So, if God knows that they're going to live 10 more years, do you think God could not save them on their deathbed 10 years from now? Absolutely, he could. But you know what he wants? He wants to test you. Will you pray for them for 10 years and then hear that they got saved on their deathbed? And then praise the Lord because he did what he did, even though it took 10 years for him to do that. How faithful are we to believe that the Lord is going to do that? Will we continue in prayer for those family members for 10 years if that's how long it takes? Some of us have prayed for loved ones for much longer than 10 years. But don't give up. God is not done working in them, and he's not done working in you. I'm not purposely pointing at you, but... But I know that you are one. Okay. So, prayer is important, and prayer is twofold. I mean, we come to God in prayer, and we bring our petitions to him. Lord, my roof is leaking, my hot water tank, blew up and all these things, right? And, help me, figure out what I got to do that, right? And, but you know what? If you pray to the Lord that he would give you wisdom, that he would expound. I know a better way to describe that. But his word will provide comfort. It will provide peace. So come to him asking him for that comfort and that peace through his word. But you need to be in it then, right? So go into the word. Pray to the Lord, see what he has for you, and let him know that you want him to give you understanding. You want him to give you direction. So at that point, prayer will be very helpful. Even if your roof continues to leak, then you know what? Go to your neighbor and borrow a vessel and put it under the leak. It'll catch the drips, right? I don't know. We've all been there, right? The joys of home ownership. All right. And then we've got the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is an interesting one. As we talk about oil, right? They're pouring oil out into the pots. Oil very often in Scripture is a symbolic indication of the working of the Holy Spirit. So, and there are Scriptures that will bear that out. So, if you think of the symbolism where he says, borrow not a few, but bring them empty. Who's the one that prepares the heart so that when you are willing to open your mouth to somebody, that they are like, oh, I really needed to hear what you just told me, right? Who's doing that? It's not you. It's the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is at work in everybody's life. I mean, saved and unsaved alike, trying to bring them to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So many of them are empty, and they need a way for the Holy Spirit to come and fill them. Well, when does the Holy Spirit fill them? When they come and accept Jesus Christ, right? So we're not talking about the Holy Spirit lighting upon somebody, coming upon somebody. We're talking about the Holy Spirit filling the believer. And that's exactly what we have as saved Christians, the Holy Spirit filling us. Now, the power of the Holy Spirit. How many people trust the Holy Spirit is going to work in their lives to guide them, to give them understanding, give them wisdom, to help them to know more about their Lord and overcome the trials and tribulations of this world. How many people, Christians I'm talking about, are having a problem with sin and will not be able to overcome that sin? Why are they not able to overcome that sin? Because they don't trust that the Holy Spirit gives them the power to do that. The Holy Spirit is God. Do you think God is unable to take away a sin that has latched onto you and won't let go? God says that he's freed us from the bondage of sin. So, you know, if you're having a problem today, I'm not talking about any specific person here, but I'm talking to anybody, any Christian who's having a problem with sin. Do you think the Holy Spirit is not able to help take you out of that sin? Yes, he can, because the Holy Spirit is God. Jesus Christ is God. God the Father is God. All of them are God, united God, Godhead. They are three persons in one. And, you know, when you talk about the Holy Spirit, we got to stop thinking about the Holy Spirit as some nebulous force somewhere. He's God. Jesus Christ is God. All of them working together in your life. When the Holy Spirit comes in you, do you think he's working completely oblivious to what God's will is? No, he's doing God's will in your life. So if you go to the Holy Spirit saying, I want to overcome this prayer, you know what overcome this sin. You know what's happening? He's going to the Father and he's saying, look, this person needs this help. Give me the power and the strength to be able to do this in this life. And then he will do that in your life if you are sincere and you really want to give up that sin. But you know what? We don't. We like that sin. That sin is so good sometimes that we just want it to be there. And, you know, I'll let it go for a while, but then I'm going to come back to it because I miss it, you know? And then, you know, what you're doing is you're quenching the Spirit and you're removing the ability, the power of that Spirit to work in your lives. Now, you know, I just got a couple points here I want to make. There are times, and I'm guilty of this, folks, and I'm going to tell you I'm guilty of this. Eva is working down at Circle C. I don't remember how many people she said were at camp. 120, 140, something like that, right? Kids that were at the camp, right? And I picked her up, and we're on our way home. We're talking, and she says to me, you know what? 50 kids gave their heart to the Lord this week. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. But you know what? In the back of my head, I'm thinking to myself, did they really, though? You know, I'm wondering, like, you know, when they get home, is there going to be any change? This is what I'm thinking. But you know what? I'm limiting the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you know, 140 kids there, do you think the Holy Spirit couldn't save 140 kids? I mean, I don't know how many were saved to begin with. But, you know, and then I hear about, you know, oh, there's this revival going on in India, right? And, you know, 1,200 people got saved. And I laugh. I think, oh, yeah, right. You know, 50,000 people attended the revival. And, you know, when you think about it, 1,200 out of 50,000 probably is a pretty small percentage. But, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, I don't know if that's true. You know, wouldn't that be nice? But, you know, go back to the book of Acts. Read the early church, excuse me, and see when it says thousands came to the Lord. 5,000 came to the Lord. It's an incredible number keep coming to the Lord as the apostles keep going out preaching Jesus Christ. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, you know, is it really possible? You know, do we not have the same God yesterday, today, and forever? Well, the Holy Spirit is not limited by my thinking. The Holy Spirit is only limited if I don't believe that the Holy Spirit is God. So I should be rejoicing when I hear 50 kids gave their lives to God. There were 1,200 people came to Christ. You know, that's wonderful. But I can't help it in the back of my head wondering, really, you know, is it true, you know? And I want to close with this. I mean, if I'm doing it, I'm sure there are others that are doing it, and we have to get past that. We have to be back to the point where we are a believing church, where we are believers in the church, where we have faith and trust, not only in God, but God's word, that what he says is true. When we do that and we allow him to work in our lives, then there will be, there are billions of empty vessels out in that world who need to know God, who need to be filled with the oil, with the Holy Spirit. And when the church finally gets to a point where they say, look, I'm going to be serious about my relationship with God and allow him to guide my path and do the things that he wants me to do, you know what? One person can have a tremendous impact in a world that is a bunch of empty pots. So fill those pots out there, however God leads you to do that, whether it be by your testimony, by your preaching, or by, you know, singing your songs of praise unto God, however you do that. And I'll leave it at that. We'll close in prayer.